Genesis 1:26 and then Isaiah 1:18. Okay. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, this is the reading of God's holy word. Then God said, let us make man in our image. Then God said, let us make man in our image. I'm done with that verse. Isaiah 1:18. Isaiah 1:18. Right. Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. In Genesis chapter 1, it said, let us. In Isaiah 1:18, let us. Let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Father, shine your light upon our mind, that your word do us good tonight. We give you the glory for the opportunity we have to gather, to receive your word, to gather for our minds to be enlightened. We give you glory. Let this night not be an exception. Help me, your servant. Let there be an anointing to teach, preach precisely, and say those things which you want your people to hear. And at the end, we'll give you all the glory and praise. Let there be direction. Let there be a leading clearly for our lives to come to the level and the pedestal that you have ordained and chosen for us at this moment. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' matchless name we have prayed. Please seek God's people. If you can turn around, just help me tell whosoever your eyes can catch and tell them, navigate, collaborate, and negotiate. Say, navigate, collaborate, and negotiate. All right. The words, those are three powerful words that are interwoven, but they stand on their own. Time will not permit us to go through the three. We're just going to take one that is in the center and that makes the other two relevant, and that is collaborate. And in the text where we read, you will see that God, the creator of heaven and earth, the God that is all-powerful, the God that nothing is impossible for, the God that created the people he was calling to come and let us do something. This God by himself, all by himself, called people together. I know scholars, Bible scholars have told us that those that he was calling, I won't have time to go into that. I'm not a Bible scholar. I'm just a Bible speaker. But maybe the day you meet scholars, they will be able to tell you who was there that God was calling. I don't want to go into that. But what is important to me here, ladies and gentlemen, and what I want to drop with you is God himself. He called for people that they should do something together. And that tells you here that right from creation, it is very, very inappropriate for you to be alone. Remember God himself. It was not Adam that complained to God that, God, I am lonely. It was not Adam that asked God that, please, I need a partner. It was God by himself that said, it is not good that a man that should be what? That the man should be what? Alone. It is not good. And ladies and gentlemen, if God said something is not good, who are we to say it is good? If God says you can't survive alone, who are you to say you can't survive alone? And that is why from the beginning, I believe God was showing us the importance of how to collaborate. How to come together, how to stick together, how to join hands together and make something happen. A simple definition, he says, to collaborate, that is the point I'm hitting this evening by the grace of God. To collaborate, it means to work jointly with others or together in an endeavor. Another one says to participate or assist in a joint effort to accomplish an end. So in other words, our accomplishment is different from accomplishment. Oh, I was able to build a house. That's an accomplishment. I was able to buy a car. That's an accomplishment. I was able to go through schools and I've graduated. That's an accomplishment. And I have BSc, and I have MSc, and I have PhD, and I'm working towards professorship. That's an achievement. But you know that there are some achievements, even the ones I have mentioned, you can't achieve them alone. You built a house, you are not the bricklayer. You built a house, you are not the carpenter. You built a house, you are not the electrician. You built a house, you are not the furniture man. You are not the painter. Oh, you brought the resources. Others made the resources meaningful to you. Oh, I bought a car. You are not the one that built the car. You are not the car factory. You are not the engine. You are not the tire. Oh, you brought the resources. The car factory made your resources meaningful. Oh, you went to school. You didn't teach yourself. You are not the one that paid your school fees. Probably, for some of us, you are not the one that taught yourself in class. Somebody taught you. Somebody mentored you. Somebody gave you assignment. Somebody set the exams for you. Somebody marked the examination. Somebody compiled your results. You are not the only one. Ladies and gentlemen, check your life very well. You will see that it is a whole deception of the enemy to think that you can be alone. You cannot be alone. You can't go far alone. In fact, you can't start alone, because even you're starting, you need people. You need your father to touch your mother. And your mother needs to conceive you. If she refuses, you are gone. So right from creation, there is nothing like I, me, myself. Like the demon that is deceiving us in our days. That love yourself, be yourself, look yourself, hold yourself, fly yourself. And with all this, you have not been able to leave a spot. It means that's because that's not what God created. See that simply collaboration or to collaborate is not weakness or lack of ability, like many of us sees it. It's not a lack of ability or capacity, but it is the only most effective and powerful platform for manifestation, accomplishment, and fulfillment made by God. For he made all things interconnected, because in this body we are limited. You breathe out. What do you breathe out? Help me. What are the things that takes them in? What do they release? What are you using? Okay. So, and that is why in developed parts of the world, you dare don't cut down a plant without permission. You can go to jail for that, because they know that's what is giving them life. Are you still here? God made it that you will release carbon dioxide, and then the plant will take it in and recycle and release to you oxygen. Do you see that? From creation. You see, it's just useless pride. Well, there's no pride that is useful. It's just useless pride for you to be feeling that you are self-sufficient. There is nothing like being self-sufficient. It is just empty heads or no heads at all that thinks like that. God, from the beginning, made us to be interdependent, interconnected. Understand that God is not weak. That he needs the support or assistance of anybody or anything. He is the everything, omnipresent, omniscient, omni, well, you know,
Omni
of all, he is. But he showed us an example, you know, that he is not limited at all in any way. But by his structure and system of operation, you know, made for us humans in this world, on this earth, he made us. We must recognize that I need you, you need me. Look at the song Pastor just led us. You know, I need you to survive. I mean, is that all we just sang it now? I need you to what? Let all the people selling food in your area, let them shut down. Then you will know they are important. No, come on. Am I talking to somebody here? Let the transport system in Port Harcourt shut down for one day. Then you will know they are important. In fact, let the area boys in your area say, what is it? Let them shut down. Let them go on strike. You will feel it. Because there is a vibe they bring on the streets. You don't know that. Are you still here? I'm coming. You know? And that is why, like I quoted earlier on, Genesis 2, it is not good. That Ecclesiastes 4:10 said, woe unto him that is alone. Do you know the meaning of woe? Woe unto him. Curse be he that is alone. So that is why if you are alone, ladies and gentlemen, you see, we have limited it to, it means I should marry. I should have a girlfriend or a boyfriend. It is just being primitive that is disturbing you. Now, it is beyond what we are talking about. We are talking on a general note. If you are alone in anything you are doing, you should pray for God to send you partners. For God to send you people who can stand around you, who can stay around you. It is God's will. Understand first of all that it is not your desire. The desire for you to be with another person, God placed it there. Because he knows that is the way you can be. That is the way you can live. That is the way you can survive. That is the way. And that is why when you lack the presence of people in your life or you lack the presence of things, that's why some people, that's why now they are so lonely. In fact, they go and buy an animal to be with them in the house. They give the animal a name. They will be talking to the animal. The animal cannot respond, but at least they are talking to a living thing. You know, they share everything with the animal. That's to tell you how important the blessing of collaboration that God has given us. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, that the absence of collaboration is the platform of limitation. The absence of collaboration is the fulfillment of limitation. The absence of collaboration is the establishment, reigning, and the ruling of limitation. You will be completely limited. You want to do it alone. You want to stand alone. You want to share alone. When Jesus was going to feed the 5,000 men, not counting the women and children, the Bible says Jesus himself, he knew what to do. But at first of all, he asked the disciples, how can we get food for all these people? How can we? He knew what to do. He could have simply commanded bread to rain on everybody. And they would be all buried with bread. But you see, the Bible says he asked the disciples, how can we feed them? And they would say, okay. And they say, okay. Oh, somebody have 5 loaves here and have 2 fishes here. He said, bring them to me. He was just teaching us that we need one another. Do you know that in Bible days there was no public address system like this, and you will hear that Jesus spoke to 5,000 or more? You may be wondering, how will 5,000 people hear Jesus speaking without a microphone? But it was collaboration. The style was the custom of the Hebrews, of the Jews. They line up like in a congregation like this. The main speaker is speaking. Pastor is speaking. One person is located here. One person like that. Like 10 people, depending on how large the place is and how large the crowd is. So when the speaker speaks, the word of God says, that person will repeat. The word of God says, then the next person will repeat. The word of God says, then the next person will repeat till it gets to the end. That's how everybody will hear. Do you get it? So, and that is why they preach for long hours. Because it will take time for the speaker to finish. Imagine all I've started saying when I've started. Somebody have to be repeating it so that everybody will hear. We are here till tomorrow morning. I bet you. But thank God that as life evolved, we have come to this point. So ladies and gentlemen, and you know, some people have encouraged that. Say, you are born alone. You will go alone. Even when you are born, you are not born alone. Placenta came with you. Blood came with you. Water first introduced, announced your coming. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You are not born alone. Then even when you go, you are not going alone. Angels will welcome you and lead you there. So this deception of alone, 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 we must erase it from our mindset because it keeps us down. It limits us in whatever we do. You are a leader. You don't understand the blessing of collaboration. You are not leading anything. A scripture always blessed my heart in the book of Proverbs. It said, in the multitude of people is the honor of a king. He said, but in the lack of them is the destruction of the prince. Do you know that? A king is honored because he has people. When you hear kingdom, kingdom. Kingdom is not cement and bricks. No, kingdom is human beings. He is a king because he has a people that he is ruling, that he is leading. And then that's why they can call him a king. And now a prince. Why will the lack of people be the destruction of a prince? Because a prince needs kingmakers to make him king. So if there are no kingmakers, have you seen any king just ascending throne by himself? No matter how powerful you are, no matter how valiant you are, people must put you there. So if he doesn't have people, nobody's going to make him a king. Understand the key role of people in your life. Understand the key role of people's, you've been surrounded by people. Collaboration. Learn to live with people. Do things with people. Agree with people. Learn how to open up to people. There are some hurts in your life that will never go until you talk to somebody. Until you talk to somebody. That is why we always say that a problem that is shared is 50% shared, is 50% settled. Because that's why a lot of us, we have some unnecessary headaches. Because you are carrying so much in your thoughts. Your head is full. Your head is turgid. The turgidity can only be reduced. Give somebody else. Give somebody else part of the headache. You think about tire. You think about steering. You think about engine. You think. And that is why in developed countries of the world, that is why they are ahead. Not one person is handling one thing that you are handling. In a company where they are just doing biro, there are people that they only think the shape of the biro. Some other people think how they will make the ink. Some other people think how they will do the plastic. Then some other people think how they will do the cover. And before you know it, you have a beautiful pen in your hand. When you just stay there, I want to do it by myself. I want to do it alone. I tell you, you aren't going to do anything. It is just pride that makes us then say, so that everybody can just say you are the one. Like in my city, Obongo, Obongo one, Obongo, and then Obongo one. Then you are the only one. You are the only cock that is crowing in your family. Let Chicken Republic get you. So, ladies and gentlemen. There is no fulfillment, nor pride in I am the only one. I'm the only one. And that's why some of us, we have this bad character. When you bring an idea and it's not being welcome in a group, you back out. You back out. Your idea may not be correct all the time. And listen to me, even when it is correct, behave as if it is not. Say, sir, what do you think we can do to this? The Bible says Jesus knew what to do. He knew. Will you say Jesus was wrong? No, he knew. But he still asks his disciples, how can we feed these people? Effective leadership will only come by when you know. You see, leadership does not mean that you know everything. You know, that's what some leaders think. Leadership is not because you know everything. I have seen a man who was leading the choir, but he doesn't know how to sing. But he was leader of the choir. And the choir, wonderful choir, one of the best choir I have met in my life. He doesn't know how to sing. He doesn't even know music, but he has the skill of administration. He has the skill of leading. So he gets the people together. So most times, I knew, because one day I have to ask, when the choir is singing, you're always standing beside them and behind, and you're not even doing, you're just saying, oh, praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, sing. You know, that's all he knows how to do. And this choir, beautiful, beautiful choir. He cannot even play an instrument. He doesn't even know what key is called on the keyboard. That's collaboration. You have the skill. Somebody else has the expertise. You have the resources. Somebody else knows how to run around them. You can think. Somebody can manifest your thoughts. Some of us, we are good thinkers, but we are not good manifestors. We don't know how to manifest. If we give it to you, we spoil it. But you are a good thinker. You think as, you know what I'm thinking? This. There are some people, they can't think, but they can handle it. They can handle your thoughts. And that is why, by the grace of God, learning this over the years, I made sure people don't hang around me doing nothing. No, everybody has a role. I have those who think. When I want to think and the thinking want to bust my head, I carry it and give it to them. Go and think about it. I give you 1 week. Then I have those who can run around. I give them. Those who I don't bother them with thinking. You run around. And I have those who know how to gather resources. That's what I give them to do. And the work will be moving. Ladies and gentlemen, enough is enough of you running alone. Tap your friends. Stop running alone. You know, even those who run on the track, they don't run alone. Because if they run alone, how you will know first, second, third? Position is being granted because you have people around you. Now some of you say, I want to lead. But this is you. You cannot collaborate with people. Leadership is about collaboration. It's about collaboration. Hey, you, what do you think about this? I've been thinking about that. Go and think about it. I give you some hours. Then come, let's talk about it together. God said, come, let us reason together. God. You, who you be? A whole God. Ha! A whole God. A whole God, a whole boss, a whole God. It means my God in heaven. That's the meaning. A whole God. He said, come, let us reason together. If your sin is like scarlet, they will be red like they will be. God. In other words, sit down. Yeah, bring your brain. I put my brain. God. And this is you. You are there. That's why. You see, in our days, as young as some of us are, you are having high blood pressure because you are doing too much. You are handling alone what 100 people should handle. You see that? Collaboration. My time, let's move forward quickly. Are you still here? You know. And that is why God gave us this structure. Now, understand, ladies and gentlemen, do you know that one of the major ways why the enemy is getting us is because we are isolated? The greatest enemy of collaboration is isolation. The first thing the devil does to you to deal with you is to isolate you. He gets you off people. He makes sure nobody is around you. Look at the people who commit suicide. They don't commit suicide when people are there. They commit suicide in isolation. If you have people around you, even if they are demons, they won't be looking at you to put your head in a rope and die. Even demons, they collaborate. Demons save demons. Jesus said, after you have driven out a demon from a place, he will come back later. If he sees that if the place is still empty, he will go and recruit 7 more stronger than himself. So if demons know the importance of collaborating,
What of you that were a spirit? Original spirit.
Just want to take all the glory. You know? That's our problem. So that everybody will know that I'm the one that did it. I'm the one that did it. Look at everything you buy. Have you seen made in Emmanuel Ofong? Have you seen that there? Made in, what will you see? Made in US, made in China, made in Nigeria, made in. Is China one human being? He's telling you made from many people. So why do you want to be made in OG? Why do you want to be made in this, made in that? Why? Get some other people together. You see, that's why some of us, our business are not prospering, because you are the only one. You are the investor. You are the CEO. You are the CFO. You are the accountant. You are the employer. You are the employee. You are, only you. You are the cleaner. You are the toilet. You are the bedroom. You are everything. That's why when you after close of work, when you get home, you are so tired. You are so tired because you have walked beyond your limit. You have walked beyond your limit. People, I see some people, some people will be coming to them, let me help you. Say, no. I don't take assistance from people. You will soon die. I don't take assistance from people. I don't like talking to people. I don't like people knowing my weakness. I don't like sharing what is doing me with people. It will do you for eternity. If you better share it. God made you to share it. Share it. Let somebody else carry it for you. You need 5 million naira, or only you are thinking about it. Somebody came to me and said, Pastor, you know something? I want to raise resources for my business. I said, that's good. That's good. I said, what's your plan? He said, I'm saving. I said, hey, since when have you started saving? First of all, I asked him, what is your income now? He told me, I said, this saving, you are saving. By the time you are 70, you are still saving. I said, by the time you are 70, you are still saving. So you may not live to see the beginning. He said, so Pastor, what am I going to do? I said, it's very easy. Very easy. I said, do you have contact on your phone? He said, I have over 400 contacts. You know, some of us, our phone is just busy doing nothing. You just line up your phone and you are boasting with it. You know, some of us, I have followers. What are they following you to do? Even Jesus that has followers, they have assignment. They follow, they're not just following him up and down every day like busybody that doesn't have anything to do. They're just, no, Jesus gave them work to do. So people are following you. What are they following you for? That's why you have problems. Instead of help, you have problems. Because the people that are following you have nothing to do. So they must feast on you. But if they are busy, I said, bring out your phone. I said, now look at all these contacts in your phone and look at the financial capacity of all of them. And then ask them, I want to start a business. Those you know, they love you. I'm not talking about acquaintances. I'm talking about real friends. I'm not talking about constituents or comrades. I'm talking about confidants, people who love you for who you are. People who love you for who you are, who are interested in your progress, not those that are afraid of your progress. Those who are interested in you growing, you know, no matter what. If you can gather 5 million, I'm sure through this contract, you can gather 2.5 or 3 million. And you can start something with it. He said, Pastor, I've never seen it like that. I said, how will you see it? The phone is even bigger than your face. You know? He said, it's iPhone 17 Pro. What is the measurement of your face? Is it up to 70? So I said, come on, do something. And ladies and gentlemen, he came back to me later. He was so happy. He said, Pastor, thank you. I said, that's why a lot of us, we don't start anything. You know, our vision never leaves the realm of imagination. It's always in the realm of imagination. We don't see manifestation because we want to do it alone. Manifestation will never come if you don't involve people that are around you. It will never come. I think my time is gone. I'm running. Are you still here? Yes, sir. So let's understand that, ladies and gentlemen. And understand that when the devil isolates you, isolation will now take everything away from you one after the other. You know, there is positive isolation. That is when God separates you. There is something God wants to do with you. God wants to deal with you. Wants to reveal something to you. But let me tell you, after that kind of godly isolation, when you come out like this, he connects you with the right side of people to be able to bring to pass what he has revealed to you when he isolated you. But you see, negative isolation is of the devil. When he fills you with pride and makes you to believe that only you can do it. Let me quickly close, ladies and gentlemen. Are we still here? Let me quickly close. Now you see, collaboration has enemies. And the first enemy I've mentioned to us is isolation, negative isolation from the devil. Another enemy is ignorance. You know, ignorance as a result of religiosity and not having correct and adequate revelation of God's word. When your mind is blocked and you refuse to open up to the word of God to correct your mind that is set on the wrong thing so that you can see things in some other ways, more than you are thinking. Ignorance. Number two, you know, arrogance. Arrogance, which is pride. Arrogance that comes from being hyper-moralistic, negatively aristocratic, and arrogantly voyeuristic. And then you become a Sanhedrin. Because these are the characters of the Sanhedrin in the days of Jesus. Hyper-moralistic people. All they believe in is morals. Morals that does not have God's hand in is empty. And you see, they boast in self. They boast in self-righteousness, not in the grace that God has made available. When you detest collaboration, you are hyper-moralistic because you believe you only possess the attribute that can make you walk, and you don't. You don't. There are some people, have you not seen that your own idea, your own invented idea by the grace of God, you share it with some people and they bring another side that will be so wonderful, even more than what you are thinking about. You know? But when you stand on your own morals alone, you don't go far. Negatively aristocratic, you know, when you only believe in class, you are the only one, you know, that is up there, and anybody cannot climb there and meet you. You look down on everybody. You look down on the effort of everybody. You don't appreciate the effort of anybody. You don't celebrate anybody around you. You believe it is only when you do it that is when it has been done well. No, even when people around you didn't do it as good as you can do it, celebrate them, praise them, encourage them, challenge them, and praise them to the point as if they are the only one making it happen. It will birth something on the inside of them that whenever you give them an assignment, they want to do better. They want to do better. When people do things around you, please, and they do well, don't be angry. You know, there are some leaders, even the people they have raised, their own mentees, when they are doing things well, you know, they are not happy. When people come and say, oh, sir, you know, when brother so-and-so explained so-and-so to me, I got it, you are angry. Because he has not said it when you said it. You know, that is negative aristocratic. Now, arrogant voyeurism. When you have relief when people fail. When you have relief that they are failing. You know, when you give people assignment and people are not complaining. When you are not around, things didn't go well. You are happy. You are just voyeuristic. You are happy. You should not be happy. You should be happy that when you are not around, things also went well. You should be happy. Do you know what that is telling you? That tells you that you are doing well. That's what it tells you. Because you taught them. You led them. You prayed for them. You empowered them. You know, but why are you sad? Because they are not praising you. Why are you not happy? Because they did it well when you were not there. Why are you not happy? And these are, you know, people who set you up for failure. And that's why you see some people, they deliberately give you what your capacity cannot carry. They deliberately give you what you cannot handle because they want you to fail so that people can see your inability to praise their own ability. That's being arrogantly voyeuristic. Don't forget those three words. It is English. Praise God. You know, hyper-moralistic, negatively aristocratic, and arrogantly voyeuristic. You know, they are enemies of collaboration. The exaltation of personal differences that undermines our common kingdom goal as a result of doctrinal nepotism and spiritual segregation, which has made us denominational, thereby making us to become negatively political, and kingdom patriotism is suffering. You know, everybody, you don't care if everybody dies as long as your idea stands. One of the major problems in the body of Christ today, I can authoritatively tell you this because I've been around a while. One of the problems we have in the body of Christ is this personal differences. That's why we cannot come together. Everybody wants to do it and believe that I am the one that is better. That's why we have doctrinal wahala. That's why we are attacking each other. You know, differences. So the kingdom does not matter. It is our doctrine that matters. So the kingdom does not matter. It is what we know to do that matters. Forgive me, you know there are some churches, as long as you don't belong to their church, you are not a believer. Even if Jesus died for you 7 times, they don't believe you are born again. You know, the personal differences, the way they speak, the body language, prove all that to you. And that's why we're not moving. I want you to imagine. We are praying for change, right? We are praying for the move of God. But you see, we don't even need fasting and prayer for that. Just imagine, sir. You know, sir, just imagine the whole churches in Port Harcourt. They decide that one Sunday, we are all going to worship together. Where is the place in Port Harcourt that will contain us? We will, all of us will be on the streets worshiping and praising God. Imagine what will happen after that service. Just imagine. If all the church, the whole of Port Harcourt is too big. Let's just pick one side of Port Harcourt. All the churches that are there come together. Choose one place. And among us, we just distribute roles. Form a big choir. A choir that will be like 5 or 10,000 people singing at once. Even Satan will come. Say, hey, come. Hey, hello? What is happening here? Satan will be incapacitated. After such service, imagine what will happen. But you see, our personal differences is more important. And we have brought it from the realm of individuality. Even in the same church, you are a member of a department. Once they don't agree with what you are saying, you are angry, you withdraw. When they are doing any meeting, you don't come. And you make it obvious to your HOD, I'm not happy. I gave you an idea, you didn't take it. You can't collaborate. What for you? Personal differences. 4, you know, I've mentioned that negative isolation. Mm-hmm. And ladies and gentlemen, we become weak, slow, and limited. It is better to be a part of a moving wheel going somewhere as a boat or a knot rather than you are a boat on a knot on your own going nowhere. And you are there. I'm a boat and knot. And you're not going anywhere. And your duty is just to collaborate with a wheel. And you will go all over the world. But you said, no. Me as boat and knot, too, I want to go all over the world. You're not going to go anywhere. Because who will ride a boat and knot? Who? But if they put you on a wheel that is holding a tire, you will go everywhere. You will go everywhere. Some of us, the kind of ministry that we have, you want to stand alone. But that's not what God has given you. You are to be part of an existing ministry. Then you blow. You say you want to blow like a transformer. But, I mean, you can't blow alone. There must be something connected to you to make you blow. What makes a transformer blow? Negative plus positive. Something must touch each other. Then there will be a blowing. But this is you. You are touching nothing. You are not negative. You are not positive. Even neutral. We don't know what you are. You are just there. How will you blow? And Pastor has told us, let me close with this. Pastor has told us we should be salt of the earth. Do you know that as important as salt is, sir, salt is useless if there is no collaboration. Because it is what salt sweetens that will make us to realize the existence of salt. You say you are salt, you are salt, you are salt. What are you sweetening? What are you sweetening? You are salt, salt, salt. How many of you will hold just salt in your hand, just salt, and be eating it? Is it possible? No matter how beautiful your pot of afang is, afang is not afang alone. But every other person in the pot agreed that we will be named afang. But it's not only afang. It's not only afang. In the pot of afang, we have the afang leaf. And with the little experience I've had, afang leaf alone has a burning sensation. So they must reduce that sensation with water leaf. Then they will add other ingredients, pepper, tomato, onions, they will add it together. And then they will put goat or enang or unen. Unless if you eat ewa. But if not, they will put that, then they will now bring salt. And remember, the salt they will bring, small. But you see, as little as that salt will be, if it is not in that pot, nobody will eat that soup. Because it will be tasteless. So, if salt is now bragging that I'm salt, salt of the earth. I'm salt of the earth, salt in nothing. Salt of the earth. Well done, oh. So I'm salt of the earth. You are not in any pot of soup. You are not in any pot of rice. You are not in any pot of beans. You are not salting any meat. You are not on suya. You are not in, what do you call it? You are not in anything. You are just there, salt. You are useless. Your usefulness is seen when you salt something. So ladies and gentlemen, we go from here having that understanding that for us to be effective in life and in leadership, as we've been hearing over times, all of us, you must learn the art of collaboration. So go from here and hear me. Don't just go and say you want to collaborate. Oh. Say now they have said we should go and collaborate, collaborate, collaborate. And just say collaborate anywhere, anyhow. No. Time will not permit me to tell you that. But pray, let God lead you to who you will collaborate to. Let God lead you. Let God give you instruction. Let God give you direction and bring meaningful people, the real salt that will salt your life. Bring them into your life. God bless you.